marketing.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. It's the 18th day of March. Is that right? 2020, Wednesday. Lord's not making another day like this. Appreciate you joining us. I proudly say this. I don't know if I'm allowed to proudly say it or not, but our numbers are growing a little bit, folks. And I want to thank all of you out there who've done your best to try to share what's going on here inside the huddle. And as those of you know, I've said for a long, long time, I'm not a theologian. I'm not a learned scholar, doctorate in theology or anything like that. I'm just a guy who can read the Bible. I can think and I can read and try to take what I see going on in the world, apply it to the Bible, or take what I see in the Bible and apply it to what's going on in the world, or not misapply it. And I just feel a little bit of vindication. I don't even know if that's the right word. I've never felt like I needed vindication, confirmation. Maybe that's a good word. That, you know, I the number of people who over the course of the last 10 years that I've been doing whatever it is, I've been doing it for 20, but over the last 10 years in particular, when I really began to be red-pilled and see what was going on in the society and begin to talk to people about it, folks, the left-handed fellowship that I got and the people that laughed at me and made fun of me and talked behind my back and everything, and it's happening, man. We don't know where any of this stuff's going to go, but there's something going on. There's the old song, something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear, right? There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. And that was Buffalo Springfield back in 1970, I think, right after Four Dead in Ohio, Kent State shooting. So it's kind of appropriate in that they really weren't talking probably about what we're discussing now or what we're living through now. But there's something happening here. Again, I had listened to an hour last night of Doug Hagman, Doug's always really kind of spot on and singing the same song. Something's going on that's bigger than what we even understand. Now, I'm going to do something that I said I would never do, but I'm going to do it. And I would like you guys to try to help us out here if we can. I am going for those who churches are closed down. It still just baffles me, amazes me. The churches are closing down. And we are going to be open for church right here on Sunday morning, 10 o'clock. Now, I want to give you a fair warning. This is not going to be a typical church service. This is not going to be praise and worship music. And I'm going to do what we always do. I'm going to rightly divide the word of God. And I want to, if you want to join in and be part of it, you're welcome to do it. I think this would be a good opportunity for you to say to some of your friends, hey, not going to go to church today. How about tuning in and joining with us on this online thing that we got on? I don't know, guys. Do we call it a fellowship? I hate all those words. I don't want us to be an online fellowship. What are we? What is this thing? It's a huddle. And I see this as an opportunity to help expose red pill, explain to some of your friends what's going on.
Hey, Coach, it's just a gathering.
A gathering, whatever. Some of you guys have been trying to get truth to people that you love, and you've been trying to do it, and you can't get through to them. Well, I promise you this: it won't be full of tinfoil hat stuff. It'll be. I'm going to do a show. I'm going to do what we do here today. And yes, there'll be some time of prayer, and yeah, we'll do some of that stuff. But folks, this is not going. Can I tell you the truth? Lord, help me to say this in a way that they'll receive it. And Lord, if they don't receive it, cover it with your blood anyway. It's become apparent to me that church services have become only about the pastor's message. So what do you mean, Coach? Well, say the church closes down, but the pastor says, I'll see you here at 10 o'clock and I'll give you a message. Now you say, Coach, how can you say that? You're going to do the same thing. No, it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. I do this 5 days a week here. It's not the same thing. This is never just about my message. This is about an interactive forum where we all get together and we discuss the issues. But to think that church is so important that everybody has to go to church and the only reason you go to church is you get to hear the pastor's message. That's the message that I'm receiving. Hey, we're going to do online church and I'll have a message prepared for everybody. Folks, prepare your own message. Prepare your own heart. It's not about the pastor's message. That's not what it's about. And if the Bible says to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, even more as we see that day approaching, it seems to me it's less about the pastor. It's more about us gathering ourselves together. In the multitude of many counselors is great wisdom.
Amen.
We're going to do that here Sunday morning. I'll have a message. I'll have not a message. I'll have a topic. And we will open the topic and we together will rightly divide the word of God. That's what we'll do. And I'd just like for you to maybe somehow welcome some of your people, some of your friends, some of them that you're having trouble with. That just tune in. It's going to be an hour. We'll be done in an hour. We are doing a show just like this on this Sunday. Okay.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
Let me jump in here for just a moment, please, to kind of add on what you're saying here. 4 years ago, your second day of your show was my first day that I was here. I've been here pretty much every day since.
Yeah.
But the reason that I came was I was searching, and somebody had told me this was a place where people's minds were open to simple truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so I came for that reason, and I've stayed for that reason. And because there's no one trying to force dogma or beliefs or even conspiracy theories down my throat. Now, you and I know personally that I don't believe chemtrails are a thing that they're trying to poison us. I just don't. I haven't got there. You haven't let that interfere in our relationship. And I haven't let the fact that you do believe that, perhaps. I think you do from what I've heard. But I haven't let that interfere in our relationship. And that's the beauty of this format that you have allowed the Holy Spirit to build here, is that we make a real effort to let the Holy Spirit guide and let the Holy Spirit and the Word of God be the final arbiter of all things spiritual.
I appreciate that, Larry, and I try to touch on top. I want it to be topical, the things that people have not thought to take their faith and apply to what's going on over there and open their eyes that they might look at it in a different way. That's really what I want to be able to do.
Hey, Coach, if I may, I also want to comment and commend you. We never really go Facebook Live, but I am going to be going Facebook Live. But the way I order my services, brother, maybe for those never coaches, you know, like the never Trumpers, the never coaches, they will see a church service where I allow interaction, just like you have shown on this show. Where, brother, there's sometimes I have 10, 15 people interacting on a message that they will see this truly. If we're going to congregate in a building, we should have that kind of fellowship going on in the message, because I'm not the only person that God is speaking to. Now, he might give me the struggle. So I'm just letting you know, brother, that I'm going to go live with that the never coaches might see the way I present my Sunday morning services that allow everybody in the congregation to participate, that maybe it'll turn a light bulb on.
Okay, so Dale, you're doing that what time? You're an hour behind me. So what time's your service?
My service is at 9:30 East Central Time.
So that'd be 10:30
your time. Oh, yeah. So I'll be on your show in the morning. Maybe I'll glean something from my message.
Yeah, or whatever. Maybe we can direct people to yours after that. So listen, folks, I'm not trying to start a church, not trying to do it, but I think it's a real void now. And people are not, how do I say this in a nice way? Since there is no church, they're not locked in on their, they don't feel an obligation to go to their church and hear from their pastor. So it might be an opportunity to just get them for the first time to join in the huddle. Anybody else want to comment on that?
I just want to thank you real quick for taking your time and sharing that time with us one more day a week. I think everyone will have a chance to see more of what we're all hungry for. So thank you, Coach.
All right, buddy. Okay. Thank you. Again, it'll help validate some of you. If people tune in, they'll say, you know, that wasn't so bad.
It's an opportunity for those that have been trapped in a satanic social club without realizing it to have a chance to get into some Holy Spirit socializing.
Amen. Amen. Cool. All right. So listen, I'm not going to be taking attendance. If you don't make it, that's okay. I'm not going to be mad. This is actually friendship evangelism. I invite somebody who hasn't been in here. Okay. Invite it. Because, you know, we could get into the argument. The real day we ought to be worshiping Saturday. Sorry, fellas. That's really when we ought to be doing it. We ought to be doing it on Saturday. But most of us are mindsetted to Sunday. So we'll begin to reach out to people. Anybody else got a comment on
same
that?
Same time, Coach? Coach, same time?
No. We're going to go 10. I'm going to do it at 10 Eastern, so that people used to go to church at 10. They're used to it. Right. And so they won't have to get up at 7 in the morning. They'll be able to sleep in a little bit, have a cup of coffee and sit around and see what we're all about. So, yeah. Jared, I didn't even ask you, man. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's fine. I just want to say now I understand why you're so disgusted with the pastors. Now I'm starting to understand truly. Yeah. I am so disgusted and angry at the church right now because it proves how worthless they are. That they just close. Why would I go to church? Why would I anyway if you guys are going to close your doors to exactly when people need it? I'm so mad. Anyway, I'm with you.
Well, Jared, not only that, remember,
Jared, it's not all of us.
To make the central focus of the church the pastor's message. That's really what it is, right? Now, listen, he's not doing it on purpose. They don't know what else to do. They just don't. They're in a box as well. They're in a box. And they don't want to, you know, they can't say the hard things. They should be able to, but they can't. They can't say the hard things, right? They can't.
It would help if they start reading their Bibles a little bit, Pastor, Coach.
It would help because the times we're talking about, Robert, are breaking right out in front of us, man. It's just, it's like happening. It's
amen, happening. Robert.
They're counting their tithes instead of the cost. I don't know what they're doing, but I really like the boldness that you and Dale and others will be taken.
Yep. Well,
we've been crying for the salt to come out of the salt shaker. Well, God done did opened up the salt shaker. He's poured it out. He's put a lid on it. You can't go back in. Maybe something good will come of this.
Yes, sir. I this sound awful. I pray for the. I don't pray. I think the failure of some of these mega churches would be a good thing. I think it would be a good thing. I think God's plan is small groups. Small churches, small fellowships, loving on each other, being family-like. That's God's model. Not those great big churches that we go to. That's not it. And so I don't want to be a church basher or pastor basher. I just don't. But we can see right now, can't we, that there are people around you who don't have any idea what's going on, and they're looking for answers, and the churches are closed. It just is beyond me. I saw a commentary. Somebody said, I know, I think maybe I shared that yesterday. We want to be good citizens. We want to be good citizens. So we'll close down. And the reality is, there's all kinds of closing down that's coming, man. I listened to a video yesterday from, talk about a combination, Alex Jones and the health ranger, Mike Adams. Oh, my goodness. You know what Mike Adams said? That this, Mike Adams, you guys know who he is, right? The health ranger. I got something. Stay with me a second before we get into all this stuff, all right? Mike Adams made a point. You know, folks, do you know that they have closed? They've closed San Francisco. Do you know that San Francisco has a shelter-in-place rule right now? You are not free. Folks, do I have it here, Jared? I thought I put it up there, but then I don't think I did put it up there. You can Google it. Anybody can Google it right now. There is in other words, San Francisco is on a lockdown.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Jeff.
I thought my sister and my brother-in-law live in San Francisco, and you're absolutely right.
Yep.
I talked to her yesterday.
So they're in a mandatory lockdown. I would call that martial law. I guess we're not allowed to use that term, right? We're not allowed to use it.
Mayor de Blasio is also considering contemplating shutting down New York City and the boroughs as well.
Okay, yeah. Here comes some of the greatest hate speech you ever hear. And I'm going to repeat what Mike Adams said in that video with Alex Jones yesterday. If you can find it, it's worth it. Folks, listen to me. This is getting Mike Adams said this. Many was the term I believe he used. I'm going to say it in a way that I'm just going to say it. This coronavirus is going to be devastating to the homosexual community. Their immune systems are shaky at best. And that many people living in San Francisco are on some type of medication, constantly on medication because of the condition that their immune systems are already in. And that this coronavirus, when it hits San Francisco, is going to be absolutely devastating. Now, he didn't say, nor am I saying, that it is a plague upon homosexuals. Nobody made that insinuation at all. Point being, that city is so filthy. They are crapping in the streets in San Francisco. Crapping in the streets. It is already a health disaster. And now with the coronavirus coming in, they are telling people to shelter in place, right? So, folks, it's coming. Mike Adams I just respect Mike Adams, the health ranger. Okay, I just respect the guy. He talked about closures coming down in major cities, and he said most of those major cities that were going to close because the cities, folks, you know what's like in those cities. You know what it's like. You know that the depth of depravity and poverty and drugs and all that stuff that's already in those cities. And the health people know it as well. And they understand that those people who are drug addicts and all that stuff, they're not going to be able to fight off. If this virus is real, they're not going to be able to fight it off. New York, he said, New York, San Francisco, Miami. He ran down a litany and said, these cities are going to shut down, he said. Now, if that happens, I'm thinking Columbus, Ohio. I immediately began to think of some of my friends. Sky high's open. I'm telling you, that's Lord brought Sky High into our life for a reason. And I believe that we're going to see closures. I believe we're going to see it. And the people in the inner cities are going to be, dare I say it, fighting for their lives. Anybody think I'm wrong on that? Anybody think I'm off base? If you think I'm off base, say it now.
You're dead on, Coach.
Well, Dave, I think that it's still too gentle. What you're giving is still too gentle because this is round one.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right, Coach. And if you have been following what has happened around the world where major huge cities have been shut off, and I'm talking multiple huge cities shut off in some countries, whole countries on lockdown, and follow some of the things that have been going on as a fallout from that lockdown, our way of life, the way we have known reality is changing, folks. It is changing.
Steve Quayle said, we'll never use the term normal again. America will never use that term ever again.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
This is nothing new. If people would read the Bible and understand that the land vomits you out after you do so much nasty things, it cleanses itself. I mean, God, this is how God has it. It vomits you out. And if you're part of the nastiness, you're going to be a victim.
That's right. That's right. Big and coach. So, again, on a Sunday morning, we'll have answers for some people who've never heard them before. We'll give it to them straight. Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
They just announced up here at Kenyon College, because that is just homosexual central up here at this college. Uh-huh. Sunday, because normally when they shut down something, if they get a little break or whatever up there, there's a lot of students can't leave. They can't go nowhere. That's mandatory Sunday, every student off of the campus. And when the ones that can't leave with their stuff, they are going to ship their stuff to their house. But everybody is evacuated off the campus.
It's going to happen everywhere. Hey, Jeff, by the way, so are you still doing the thing on Saturday or not?
Yeah, I think we should, because I told some people last night at the Bible study, Pastor Bill talked about this, because we are having church. We got new families coming. And so I told them, they asked me, and I said, here's the deal. There's still students up there. They get the chance to read the little kids, the transgender stuff.
Are you sure there are students there? That's all my concern.
I'm going to drive up today and make sure.
Okay.
But here's the thing. You got all the staff, all the people who live in that little community, and Mayor Lehman Kessler is behind all this, dragging little kids into this thing. He is of the devil. This boy is a demon. He's just evil.
I'm all in, man. I'm all in.
He's my target.
I just want to make sure there's going to be people there. I'm all in, okay?
Yep, we're a good doer.
Okay, cool. Cool. Keep us in the loop on that one, Jeffy. I don't mean to walk all over you, buddy. I got a lot to share. Anybody else want to make a comment then about anything I've been talking in regard? I got someplace I want to go that's really uncomfortable for me. I'm a little.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Jeff.
Yeah, in San Francisco, they have a family business, and the government shut them down completely. Not take out food or anything. They shut them down.
This is the advancement of government that they've been warning us about. Jared, I don't know if you did this or not. Did you Google San Francisco? See if you could do that for me. San Francisco lockdown or whatever you would want to put in there. Just so I want people to know I'm not making this up. I'm not making it up. Folks, there it is. There it is. Lockdown. This is CBS News out of the Bay Area. Las Vegas casinos and bars are closing. But folks, Jared, this is out of what we're go to another one and see if we can't find. Yes, there you go. San Francisco going on 24-hour lockdown for 3 weeks. Click on that one, Jared. There it is. San Francisco shutting down for 3 weeks. 24-hour curfew starts tonight. That was
lockdown. 3:15. Nancy Pelosi.
There it is, huh? Why? Because folks, that's a death city. San Francisco's death city. If this virus hits it. Okay, cool. Anyone else for the good of the group on this topic? Because I want to get this all out of my way. By the way, Todd Barham had surgery yesterday for that infected gallbladder. I think it was Monday. He had complications yesterday. They readmitted him in the hospital. So Todd's just pray for Todd. Hey Dale, pray for Todd right now. Would you do that?
Absolutely. Father, we just thank you right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we know this, that as Coach started today, a sparrow does not fall from the sky that are you not aware of it. God, you oversee not only the 7 billion people on the earth, but the cosmos and the stars and the planets themselves. Lord, you are concerned with him because, Father God, he is yours. And you are his. Father, I speak your word as medicine that destroys anything seen and unseen trying to attack his body. Father, I pray, God, in Jesus' name that the blood of Christ and the stripes of Christ heal him, heal Todd right now. Rise him up, Father God, to be a pillar in the house and in the kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Todd's been cancer-free for over a year, leukemia-free. For over a year, he had an infected gallbladder because of all the chemotherapy and everything he's had. They couldn't go in and take out the gallbladder. They've been giving him antibiotics, trying to kill it. And yet, then they decided they could go in. He was healthy enough. They could go in. They went in on Monday and they extracted that old rotten old gallbladder, got that thing out of him. But then he had a lot of pain and some complications, and they admitted him to the hospital on Tuesday. So thanks for that prayer, Dale. And let's keep Todd in our prayers, if we can. Cool. It is like a family here.
Coach, yeah. Where's the Black Robe Preachers at? We're the men. Why aren't we standing up?
Joseph, I don't know, man.
This feminization of shutting this country down.
Joseph, by the way, I'm glad you're saying that. They don't have the right to do that, right? And folks, if they be able to close us down this easily over a virus that we don't even hang on a minute. We don't know anybody's got this virus. Everything they're telling us is on the come. In other words, it's coming. Now, I believe it's coming. But can you believe you're totally and completely mesmerized the way we are? The government's done that to us. through the media? Can we now see how all this program is taking place? And let's say that all of this is true and necessary and they're taking the right steps. Do you now see how easy it is for the government to control everything? Do we see that, how quickly that's happened? You say, well, Coach, it's a good thing. Well, okay, it's a good thing. Do you still see how easy it was? See how easy it was?
Okay.
It was on lockdown. San Francisco, 7 million people on lockdown. Go ahead, Mark.
Are you still scanning through your Facebook? Are you still thumbing through posts? If you are, regardless of what you believe, you're being programmed. Mm-hmm. They have the ads set up. They have all the news. They prioritize it to program you. So just beware of all the social media, too. It's not just the media stream. So it works. It's proven. It's subliminal. It's real. So I'm just throwing that out there. Beware of all the news.
Amen. Amen. Hey, folks, listen, I hate to keep beating this drum. Get some of your friends to tune in Sunday morning because they'll hear us talk about this stuff that they're not hearing in their churches. They're not hearing it. And I promise you, I won't tinfoil hat them to death. I won't talk about chemtrails. I won't talk about that stuff. I just think this is a great opportunity for us to be able to get some, help some of you, put some people around you. You understand what I'm saying? To get your family to listen is at the end of it, and you guys can have a discussion when we're done, and they'll say, you know, Grandpa, maybe you're not as crazy as I thought. What's going to happen next, Grandpa? And then you get a chance to minister to those who are around you. That's you get what I'm saying from. Okay, listen, I want to dive into something that's really not very. Jared, click on the first thing you have there. I've really been struggling with this one, really struggling, and it's because Jared will get it up on the screen for us. This week, the activist mommy Elizabeth Johnston and her husband Patrick. You guys know Patrick. We had Patrick on talk about the movie The Reliant. The activist mommy's become, I mean, she's really become, she has a million followers. Used to go to church, 761,000 people follow her, it says. Her impact's farther than that. She's speaking all across the country. And I went to church with Elizabeth. Ministered, watched the Reliant movie in their home, Elizabeth and Patrick. Known them for, I don't know, 15 years. And they're wonderful children. And this week, I'm going to cover two topics here, so bear with me. Jared, scroll on down. This week, Elizabeth, maybe it was early last week, and I bit my tongue, held my tongue. There's her family. There's a beautiful family on the screen right now. One more down, Jared. I bit my tongue when she posted this. On down, one more, Jared. I think one more down. Right there, one more. There we go. Right there. Nope. Up one more, Jared. I'm sorry. One more. When she posted this on her Facebook page, next one. I'm sorry. Scroll down. There it is. There it is. Right there. Click on that, Jared. This is an announcement. What was it done? March 13th. So what is today? It's 5 days ago. This is not an announcement I ever hoped to make. But life sometimes. I want to read this whole thing. I don't want to read the, and that she's announcing that she and her husband, my father and my husband, father, my 10 children have been repeatedly unfaithful to me. My husband has been repeatedly unfaithful to me, as well as a psychologically and emotionally abusive, bringing an end to our marriage of 22 years. I know these folks well. I know them very well. After repeatedly taking him back, covering for him, preserving his reputation, forgiving him for adultery, pornography, sexual immorality, which began 16 years ago, I've been forced to come to the harsh realization that I've done all I can and I'm trusting him to my Savior. I don't share this to harm or humiliate him, although she is, but to explain why I, a Christian woman who hates divorce, have decided to separate and pursue a divorce. I'd suffered for many years in order to prevent divorce, trusting God to bring the changes needed. I'm not going to read down through all this, folks. Listen, I'm just going to tell you this. This is full of half-truths. This statement from Elizabeth Johnston is full of half truth. And if you were to read this, trust me. I've been in conversation with those who are currently close to the situation, those men in particular who have been spending the last 2.5-3 years in counseling, specifically with Dr. Patrick, on the porn issue. I'm not going to get into the depth of this. Just, you're going to have to trust me that I know what I'm talking about here, okay? We know the old saying that it takes two to tango. No marriage falls apart because of the failings of one partner. It does sometimes, but normally doesn't happen that way. And I read down through this thing. And when I read down through this thing, I could not, knowing the situation, as one of my friends said when I had a conversation with him, I thought I was going to throw up. I thought it was going to throw up. Because all that needed to be said was, please pray for us. My husband and I are struggling with our marriage. Life is tough. 22 years, 10 children. Please keep us in our prayer. Instead, we get this entire, scroll down the bottom, Jared. This is what threw me off of the last, I got to the bottom, I couldn't believe this. Couldn't believe it. Goes on and on and on and on and on and on. Now look at this. Look at the last things, clear at the bottom, Jared. This statement above has been cleared by my legal counsel and my spiritual mentors. Now let me tell you something. She walked away from the pastor of the church because she would not take the correction that was necessary. I hate doing this. I love Elizabeth Johnson and I love Doc Johnson, but I'm not going to sit here quietly and allow his reputation to be besmirched. She says, I've had biblical grounds for divorce for 16 years. Now, folks, when you hear that, what do you think when you hear that somebody's had biblical grounds for divorce? What do you think out there? I'm asking a question. What do you think when you hear that?
You're already setting the tone for what you're going to decide to do.
Infidelity.
Infidelity for 16 years that he's been in. That is not true. That is not true. Something happened 16 years ago. I'm not going to go into any more depth. But here's what I want to show you. Here's what absolutely blew me away, Christian America. Can you say Judge Kavanaugh? Can anybody say Judge Kavanaugh? Can anybody say Judge Roy Moore? Yeah, I said it. Yeah, I said it. Jared, go down there. 13,000 comments, and all of them, not true. 99.9% of every one of those comments are telling her how brave she is and go on with your life and we love you and we're so sad to hear about it. And folks, it is Christians again believing something without knowing the whole story.
Coach, I just posted in there Proverbs 18, brother. One brings a charge until another comes and examines the neighbor. You're absolutely right. I read all of those threads. The one thing that stood out that was concerning to me, as I heard repeatedly, what a strong woman. Brother, there is a tone in there that is a Jezebel spirit, I'm just saying.
Hey, let's look right there. Pastor Greg Locke. See, Elizabeth is now traveling around speaking in all these great venues. Pastor Greg Locke, he's probably pretty brave. Oh, we love you and we stand with you. People never understand the pain and betrayal. He doesn't even know what he's talking about. Doesn't even know what he's talking about. Doesn't even know. There's more than one victim here. I'm telling you, I'm so enraged by this. Why? Because I love Patrick Johnston. I love Elizabeth Johnston. I love Patrick Johnston. And for her to do this publicly, scroll on down. Any other famous guy? Yeah, there's a lot more famous guys in there. People that you would think that would know better than to weigh in and believe this stuff without knowing the whole truth. Look at it. You're an amazing, strong woman. Put in that position and all that. To highlight that there. Hey, Charles Glenn. Be strong. Oh, you should not have been put in that position at all, let alone for 16 years. His loss, your gain. There's someone who will appreciate your beauty, intelligence, and they haven't even heard his side of the story. Wicked. I hope she's watching. I hope she's watching.
And Coach, has only been a
hand. Hang on a minute. This is one of the most wicked. I would never do that to my wife. Ever do that, publicly humiliate my wife. Talk about my wife's pornography, my wife's infidelity. I would never do that. Love covers. Love covers. Just justification. Dale, should I say it? Should I say it?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll say it. I'm going to tell you something. If my marriage was in trouble, I wouldn't be flying around telling everybody else how to fight evil. I'd stay home and save my marriage. That's what I would do.
Well, nobody, Coach, listen, I'm just.
Nobody said it.
Coach, I know, because I was part of that group within the session of who knows what was going on. A handful of us. And here's the scary thing for all those people who know nothing. Every single one of us are concurring and saying the same things. Elizabeth, you know, you sit there and say that this person is your pastor until he brings correction and then you run for him. That tells me right there that you're in error. And all of these that's exactly what happened.
We know that.
We're talking Matt Trewilla, Rusty Thomas, yourself, I, Ante, brother. Every single one of us are lining up. And what does that say? If that does not say anything, that itself weighs bearing, because we all know the entire story.
Now, folks, Dale, thanks, Dale. Listen, folks, I want you people. I know I hear some of you right now. Some of you right now are saying, "Well, Coach Dave, you're no better than her. You're publicly pointing all these things out, folks." She did it publicly. She assassinated her husband publicly. Hey, a little bit of truth in there. A little bit of truth. Yeah, something happened 16 years ago. Yeah, there have been marriage struggles probably during the 16 years. But to make this... Yeah.
She's blaming her husband for pornography addiction. What do you think this is doing? What do you think the effect of these 13,000 comments making her feel good about her poor decision? How is that different than pornography addiction? Somebody tell me, please, how this is any different. This emotional, seeking the emotional approval of everybody on Facebook. It's not any different.
It's not any different. You guys, do you understand why this is so uncomfortable to do? I love Elizabeth Johnston. I love Patrick Johnston. I love that family, but I will not sit back and watch that division. She is bringing division between her children, and their father. She's bringing division, folks, between her children and their father. You say, Coach, how do you know that? Well, I just read Facebook posts. That's all I do. And I want you to know that ever since this has happened, I have been diligently doing my homework.
Coach, is there something more that, I mean, it sounds to me like there's something more that's causing this. I don't know. Just,
hey, Glenn, let me
She's ask. Destroying the relationship with the children. She's destroyed the relationship with the children and their father.
She has. Now, let me ask you something, folks. Why would anybody, I'm just saying, in my opinion, Roger, this is about the discernment of Christians. It's the discernment of Christians. If I read this from anybody, I would never jump on the thing and say, wow, man, wow, you're so brave. I would say this, really? You've been living this life for 16 years and having all these pictures of this happy family and everywhere, look, there's that happy family and you're running around and telling everybody, not on my watch. What? What? Listen, almost a million followers. How does her husband get his reputation back?
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
if there's anyone listening to the show around the country, around the world, or in this queue that knows exactly what God wants and exactly how God would handle this, well, then let them go facilitate what God would do. Other than that, let's trust God and pray for His will to work its way out. That's my recommendation.
Amen. Well, we know. Well, I don't want to get bogged down. I just think the truth has to be told, folks. Truth has to be told. And if you want to see something that'll make you throw up, you go down through the comments on this Facebook page and you read the names of some very important people who are falling all over themselves, telling her how brave she is.
Nobody in her position.
Okay. Here's what Dave Dobmar
said. I'm sorry.
Dave Dobmar said, Proverbs 18:13, he that answereth a matter before he hears it is folly and shame unto him. It takes two to tango. I said this how many days ago? It takes two to tango. Have you heard her husband's side? Is every accusation true? There will be egg on a lot of faces when this is concluded. Do Christians have no discernment? I want to hear her husband's side before casting judgment. Don't you, Christian? I know the Johnstons. Used to attend church with them. Let's hear from Patrick before his execution. Huh? Well, read down there. Read all these people. Oh, yeah, she sure is a victim. Oh, yeah. Liz, oh, poor you, Elizabeth. I'm sorry. Yeah, and that's what men do to everybody. Oh, yeah, yeah. You're wonderful. And my goodness. If you knew what wanted to come out of my heart right now, what I wanted to say, I love both of these people. I've been in their home. They've been in ours. Done ministry with both of them. I've been on the streets with both of them. I love their children. I love that family. They're the model family. Am I handling it wrong? Should I just remain silent and let Patrick be drugged through the mud? Patrick's an accomplished guy. He produces movies. He has a reputation. He's an up-and-coming film producer. Is he now? Is he now? Just read down through there. Oh, just read down through the comments. We should be praying for the restoration of the family. She should take a leave of absence and never show her face again until she works out her marriage. The activist mommy, not on her watch. Her number one responsibility is to her home and to her family. I don't want to beat up on her. I think what she did to her, I think what's airing that dirty laundry publicly was self-serving, Elizabeth. It was self-serving. It doesn't advance the kingdom. It doesn't help your family heal. There's nothing good that came out of that self-serving post that you made on Facebook. Nothing.
And it's absolutely unbiblical. Everything about that was unbiblical.
Unbiblical.
Coach, they sin in the camp, Coach. That's what's going on. Sin in the camp. Most time the one that's lobbing all them bombs, that's where, hey, she needs to look in the mirror, bro.
Okay. Well, let's stop. Let's get off of her. Let's get off of that one. I want all of you to know. And let it be a lesson to all of us. Folks, this is Kavanaugh. Is this not Kavanaugh? Somebody help me. Is this not what they did to Judge Kavanaugh? And Judge Roy Moore, to a small extent.
Well, actually, Coach, it's a little bit different because we're dealing with believers here and how we should be handling it. And the fact that I know and you know of some of these situations is that there was forgiveness. And, brother, to pull that back up, man, let me tell you what, that's Matthew chapter 18. When you refuse to forgive your brother, let me tell you what, God's got a deep sea net and he can pull up everything and throw you into a spiritual prison.
I pray for the restoration of the marriage. I pray for the restoration of the family. That is God's will. You won't convince me otherwise.
Paul said, lay hands on no man suddenly, Coach. Endorse no one suddenly. Because why? Because when you do, and you don't know the facts, you may be participating with a witchcraft situation.
Yes, sir.
Witchcraft prayers, Coach. There are all these people that are falling in here knowing nothing and they're emotionally attached. They may be speaking witchcraft prayers, control, deceit, manipulation, intimidation, all these things. It's ignorance, and it shows no discernment on the part of a Christian.
That's right. That's right. Listen, if somebody brings an accusation against folks, listen to me now, okay? Because this has happened to me. Somebody brings an accusation against me, you don't just believe it. You don't just say, you know, I knew that about him. I knew that. And you just look, 10,000 people just did that. She made a statement, and everybody believed the statement.
Coach, let me clarify what Randy said. I think it's impactful. Witchcraft prayers. What's he talking about, people? Coach just said there was 10,000 posts, and these people are glorifying the sin. The comments that we make on these Facebook things need to glorify God at every turn. Our words are also witchcraft prayers unless they're in the spirit of God. Keep that in mind.
Right. That's right.
Well, Proverbs also says, rob not, get in the middle of another man's quarrel. You'd be better off robbing a mama bear of her cubs. What I'm saying there is that, brother, God is going to extend grace to those in the immediate, so there's reconciliation. But those who have chosen sides that truly don't have anything in the matter, brother, God's not extending grace to them, and their hearts become bitter because they don't know how, they can't forgive. They should never have been involved into this situation whatsoever.
Dave?
Yes, Rod?
And I don't know her as well as you do, but isn't this somewhat a good example of what happens many times in role reversals?
Yes.
You know, I see it in my line of work. I don't do a ton of this type of work, but I see it in our culture. When the role reversals take place, many times the marriage breaks up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's for a host of reasons. Now, I don't know all the facts on this one, and I agree with just about everything you've said on that, but I think this is a great example of what happens with role reversals.
Yes,
when the headship is flip-flopped, what happens?
Amen.
I call it living in the curse, Genesis 3:16.
Amen. Let me make be very clear. I love Elizabeth Johnston, and I love Patrick Johnston, and I love those children. I love them. I love that family. I'm heartsick over it. But I'm not going to remain silent when this clear abuse has happened. I pray for the restoration of the marriage. I pray that it'll be stronger than it has ever been. And I just pray for repentance on the part of any and all people that are involved with it. God does not want Dr. Patrick and Elizabeth Johnston to be destroyed. He doesn't want that. That's not his will. Not his will. Jared, spread the gospel. Pick it up. I want to end on a little different note here. I didn't mean to go that long on it. I'm glad I was able to do it because it's been bothering me for quite a while. For 5-6 days anyway. It's been, so PJ Media. This came up on PJ Media today, Jared. I saw this and I thought, amen. That's what Larry's been trumpeting. That's what a lot of us here have been trumpeting. And there it is. How early Christians save lives and spread the gospel during Roman plagues. The wow, huh? Christians facing the coronavirus today would do well to remember how the selfless love of the early church helped spread the gospel in a world much more hostile to Jesus' message than our world is today. Christianity spread in the face of persecution for many reasons, but in two cases, it spread in the midst of deadly plagues because Christians risked their lives to save others. Two historic plagues ravaged the Roman Empire, the Antoinette Plague of 165 to 180, and the Cyprian Plague, 249 to 262. Don't you wish you knew history more? I wish I knew more history. The plagues killed roughly a quarter to a third of the population, striking down emperors Marcus Aurelius, Hostilian, and Claudius II, and Gothicus, and ravaging the empire. And as in the case of the coronavirus today, panic spread because the society did not understand the disease. As socialist Rodney Stark noted, Christians responded to the plagues differently than their pagan neighbors. I'm going to say that again. Christians responded to the plague differently than their pagan neighbors. During the first plague, the famous classic physician Galen fled Rome for his country estate, where he stayed until the danger subsided. So Galen took off. But for those who could not flee, the typical response was to try to avoid any contact with the afflicted, since it was understood that the disease was contagious. Hence, when the first symptom appeared, victims often were thrown into the streets where the dead and dying lay in piles. Imagine that. You got sick, they threw you out in the street. Bishop Dionysius recounted the events in Alexandria, Egypt, during the Cyprian plague. At the first onset of the disease, the pagans pushed the sufferers away and fled from their dearest, throwing them into the roads before they were dead and treating unburied corpses as dirt, hoping thereby to divert the spread and contagion of the fatal disease. Yet Christians sought to help the sick, even risking their own lives. As Cyprian, Bishop of Carthage, puts it, although this mortality had contributed nothing else, it has especially accomplished this for Christians and servants of God, that we have begun gladly to seek martyrdom while we are learning not to fear death. Boy, that's a good line too. Heedless of danger, they took charge of the sick, tended to their every need, ministering to them in Christ, and with them departed this life serenely happy. For they were infected by others with the disease, drawing on themselves the sickness of their neighbors and cheerfully accepting their pains. Dionysius recalled of his fellow Christians, listen to this, many in nursing and curing others transferred their death to themselves and died in their place, a death that seems in every way equal to martyrdom. Even basic care likely powerfully reduced the death rate. As William McNeil pointed out in Plague of the Peoples, quite elementary nursing will greatly reduce mortality. Simple provision of food and water, for instance, will allow persons who are temporarily too weak to cope for themselves to recover instead of perishing miserably. It's entirely plausible for Christians that Christians' care for the sick would have reduced mortality by as much as 2/3, Stark said. In other words, Christians went out and helped these six people. 2/3 of them who would have died lived. Christian charity did not just save lives. It also spread the gospel. Historians have long struggled to understand how a small group of Christians after Jesus' ascension, Acts put the numbers between 120 and 5,000. Think about that. 120 Christians, or maybe as many as 5,000, eventually outnumbered all other faiths in the Roman Empire with an estimated 60 million. At the most, 5,000 people spread the gospel to 60 million. That's staggering, isn't it? Using estimates from historical sources, Stark found out that the growth from 1,000 Christians in 40 AD to 33 million in 350 AD, 310 years, 33 million Christians, required a growth rate of 40% per decade. While this growth seemed miraculous to Christians at the time and historians afterwards, it can also be explained through the expansion of social networks, exactly what we're talking about. When Christians risked their lives to help their pagan neighbors during the plagues, two things happened. Pagans who did not come into contact with Christianity were more likely to die, and pagans who received Christian charity were more likely to live and to develop relationships with Christians who saved them. A pagan saved from death may befriend the Christian who saved him, and he may have lost his previous friends from the plague. By saving pagans, Christians not only demonstrated the love of Jesus, but also spread social influence. So Starkhall has long found that social networks are essential to religious conversion. While new believers say they are satisfied by true doctrine, friendships and other believers are also essential when it comes to choosing a faith. This is not to say that faith doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit's not involved in conversion. The process in each person's heart is still a mystery. But from a social science standpoint, relationships are key to understanding a person's decision to publicly recognize a religion, Christ. I don't have time to read all this. Go ahead and read it. So what's this? This is our, again, what are we even saying? This is our opportunity, Christians. This is our time. Come on, let's not cower. Let's not fight. Let's not argue. Let's expand the kingdom. Robert, come on in, man. It's March 18th. Let you finish this up here today. Hey, listen, before we do, thanks for bearing with me today. If I came across as bashing on the, I I'm sorry that you felt that way. I felt the there in defense of my of our friend, in the defense of the family. That was my total purpose in doing it, and I pray for the restoration of that marriage. Trust me, I do. Go ahead, Robert.
Okay, yeah, your last statement about the kingdom of God is exactly where this thing ends up. But it says here, many go the long way and in the wrong direction because they choose the easy, comfortable road, not the path of hard knocks. They choose the high road of popularity and prosperity rather than the low road of humility and poverty. And this describes the first century believers, as you showed, Coach, on there, how they stood up and preached the gospel in troubled times. Those who were spirit-led rather than purpose-drunken, who were spirit-taught rather than man-taught, who were seeking after the miracle-working God rather than seeking after signs and wonders, those who know and walk and abide in God's eternal truth and heart-piercing word rather than run after fables, esoteric wisdom, New Age ideas, and pseudo-spirituality and ear-tickling words, such ones will run the race and win rather than fall on their face in shame.
Amen.
Man's dull religious butter knife will not cut it against the devil's pitchfork of lies. And we see, you know, the lies of the devil destroying marriages.
Yep.
We saw it today. The mighty sword of the Lord, the word of God, is the only weapon of combat that can cut through the last day global deception, whatever that deception might be. Proven soldiers of the cross will hear the words, "Good and well done, my faithful servant." These are God's special forces who will rescue victims from dead religion and superficial spirituality and introduce them to the true supernatural life. And this is a good statement. They can then experience the true kingdom of God, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So we have to ask, is Elizabeth or are these Christians today, are they experiencing the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, peace, and joy?
I don't know, man.
You give a clear example of one who doesn't.
Yeah, amen, amen. Listen, mercy follows judgment. Mercy follows judgment. We have to tell the truth. We have to repent, fall over our face, confess what we've done wrong, and let the mercy of God follow. So that's what we need to do. Mercy follows justice. Mercy follows judgment, and that's where the righteousness, the peace, and the joy in the Holy Spirit is. That's where it rests. So again, I don't even know how to wrap it up here this morning. I just appreciate y'all being here with us. Don't forget Sunday morning, 10 o'clock. Tell your friends. We'll get a blast out about it, Polly. Let's get an email blast out of it. And again, it's for you. We want to help you build. What do we read? What do we just read there? Relationships, fellowships. How many people do you know who don't have any spiritual discernment to what's going on? And you have a chance to open a window and begin a relationship where you can help walk these people, as Larry would say, out of the satanic social clubs into a true relationship with Christ. That's the opportunity that's before us today. So we're going to do that Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. And in the meantime, we'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow. God bless you. Have a great day.